Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. If you would like to be a part of the radio broadcast, now is a spectacular time to make that happen. We've got a lot that we have talked about, a lot more we will talk about as the show rolls on. Trade deadline in the National Football League is today. 4 p.m. is the cutoff. We have had a few moves. We have a few moves that are in process. And we have a lot more that will break through. You know what? I keep saying that. We're going to have a lot more. I don't know that we will.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to happen. Years where hardly any trades were made at all.
Yeah, and it's been, like right now, it's like objectively slow right now. Now, granted, it could be just that moves are being finalized. It also may be that just not a lot of moves are going to get made. So we'll keep you up to date on that through the final 2 hours of the show. And obviously on tomorrow's radio broadcast, we will break down whatever moves happen between 10 a.m. and 6 a.m. Well, I guess 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. this afternoon to wrap up NFL trade deadline. So we got that coming up for you tomorrow. We have got your first college football playoff poll. That is going to drop at 8 p.m. this evening. So when I'll take a look at what we think that is going to look like. I'm going to tell you, I don't think week one is going to be that much different than the AP poll. And this is, again, I don't want to necessarily go off on this now. We'll talk about it when we get to that point. But this is the reason that when the preseason poll drops, as much as I agree with all of you when you say, like, preseason polls, we shouldn't get up in arms about them. I agree with those of you that go as far as saying they shouldn't exist. Like, I'm fully with you. I could do without preseason polls. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, now that I know the name Koki Riley from the Baton Rouge Advocate, I'd go so far as to say, like, the AP poll as it exists shouldn't exist. We should just overhaul the whole gosh dang thing. But we don't, we haven't, we won't. So that is the reason that I have said and will say again, I do care about the first AP poll. The reason is because what happens tonight at 8 p.m. is 1,000% going to be influenced by it. Like, we can all put our heads in the sand and pretend that that every single college football playoff committee voter has watched every game of every team that they would consider to be inside the top 12 teams in football. But come on, dude, you know that's not true. You know that's not a thing. It's first off, I'm going to say this lovingly. I don't think it's possible, right? Now, they have access to resources that we don't, right? Like, they are getting game film that has no commercials. It has no wonky stuff. Like, it is just cut and dry. Here's what happened in the game. And those tapes are probably, you know, 40 minutes long altogether. So they have tools and access to resources we don't have. But still, you are talking about a dozen games. Even if you were to just keep it to the top 25 teams, all the teams that you're like, okay, maybe they could jump in or not, you were talking about 300 football games over the course of the season. This is why that poll, A, matters, but B, shouldn't exist in its current way that it exists. It just shouldn't. It should be opened up to a hell of a lot more people from every part of the country so that the people in the Midwest who are most hands-on with teams in the Midwest are hopefully accurately ranking the teams in the Midwest. The guys in the Southeast, the guys in the Pacific Northwest, the guys on the Pacific Coast, the guys in the Atlantic Northeast can all do a good job of accurately getting, and then we merge them all together and it gives us a more accurate and less biased set of results. I think that would be the way to handle it. But we'll see. And we'll see how close the playoff poll this evening is to the final AP poll, to the AP poll from Sunday night. And we will break that down tomorrow on the radio program as well. I do want to talk more for just a few minutes about the Atlanta Braves here for just a second. We did get yesterday a few baseball stories that took place. We have got Drake Baldwin from the Atlanta Braves, catcher, rookie, in the NL Rookie of the Year conversation. Honestly, I think he ought to win it. One of the other guys is a right-handed pitcher who had limited time. Like, he was good when he had time, but limited time. I think Drake Baldwin, for the pressure, the position he was put in, and more importantly, the fact that he was splitting time with Sean Murphy, and when he got his time, he shined. Like, there were a lot of Braves fans, raising my hand, me, that thought as we got to the end of the season, number one, Sean Murphy should have been traded at the trade deadline and stacked up on some prospects. And number two, Drake Baldwin should have been the full-time starter. Now, if there was a pitcher in the rotation that said, I only want to pitch to Sean Murphy, we've got the chemistry down, like, cool. But still, like, that, I don't know that that would have been made it. Anyway, that would have made it right. So, Walt Weiss has been hired, promoted, I should say, from bench coach of the Atlanta Braves to skipper. He is now the manager. He is replacing the now retired Brian Snicker. And when I got that information yesterday, to say I threw a temper tantrum would be fair, to be honest with you. I did. Dear friend of mine, Andrew, big Braves guy. He's my Braves guy that we just talk ball together. He sent me the notification like when it dropped. And it was just, it came with really all caps question mark. To which I said, roll eye roll emoji. Like that was all I could come up with. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't see how going from Brian Snicker, when last year, I think you had a couple of problems with Brian Snicker. I think the first was, and again, I know that this is going to set some of you off. I don't care. I think the first is, as good as Brian Snicker was back in 2020, 2021, and I'm even going to go so far as to say, and I don't even think this is in retrospect because I had this opinion at the time, I don't think Brian Snicker really had to do much for that team. I think that team pretty much ran itself. There wasn't a lot of managerial decisions. There are some teams that need a lot of good managerial decisions. Like, you're a good team, but you need somebody that knows what buttons to push at the right time. Like, look at the Dodgers this year. The Dodgers needed Dave Roberts this year. I don't know that next year they will. Now, the Dodgers are kind of a different breed of cat. Joe Kelly, their former closer, said on a podcast the week going into the World Series, he said, y'all don't really understand, the Dodgers are kind of different. And the point that he was making was that the Dodgers don't run their organization like most organizations because they're so good and they're so deep that if you get banged up, if you get hurt, or if you go on a cold snap for the Dodgers, they bench you and effectively stash you. Like, we're not going to rush you back. We have zero interest or need to rush you back. We got too deep at almost every position on the baseball diamond. We don't need to rush you back. So they can keep guys in reserve, that may be starters everywhere else in the league and just have them ready when they need them. Or make sure that Shohei Ohtani is 1,000% good to come back. We don't need to rush him back. When he's ready, he's ready. Whatever. But even with a team that good, when they got to the World Series and the Jays had their backs against the wall, Dave Roberts was making, wizard decisions as a manager. The decision in Game 7 to go back to Glasnow, to go back to Yamamoto. A lot of managers wouldn't have had the stones to do that. The decision to put Andy Pages back in center field, where he played a lot this year, but he went cold in the playoffs. He took him down, put Tommy Edman. Edman had been good, but randomly he's like, okay, Pages for Edman. Sends Pages out there, like two pitches later. Deep ball out to the deep center, and Pages gets on his horse and catches the ball for the third out with the bases juiced. A ball that Tommy Edman could not have caught that would have won the game and the World Series for the Blue Jays. Wizard. I need a manager in Atlanta because it's a good ball club. Like, there's talent, there's a young core. This was the problem that we had last year. There's talent, there's a good young core. But somebody's got to manage it. And I don't think Snit was either capable of, or if he was capable, he just wasn't doing it last year. This is why, how many times did you hear me say, I could not watch Braves night games, especially Left Coast Braves night games. I couldn't watch Braves night games because almost once a game, I honestly think it got to a point that it was being done as a gimmick by the TV networks covering different Braves games. Almost as a rule, at some point in the game, usually in the sixth, seventh inning, they would put a camera on the bullpen and you would see Brian Snicker and he'd be sitting there on his platform, and he would lean back, and once a game, you'd see, big yawn, man. And it's like, I get it, it's a random game in June, but like, dog, you're the manager. If you're sitting on the bench yawning, like violent yawning, right? That type of yawning that if your husband or your wife do it, you're like, babe, seriously?
No chance he was just having problems with his nasal passages and had to breathe through his
all
mouth.
Season long, every night, but only at night.
It gets worse at night.
No, the guy just didn't have the energy for it, and that's okay. He's 70. Like, I'll be honest. If I make it to 70, like, I hope I have the energy just to like stay awake and watch some TV. I get it. I'm cool. Like, I understand it, but like, That's not the job that you need to be in.
When you're 70, it will be beamed straight into your eyeballs.
So, yeah. I hope so, because I won't have the energy to grab the remote and turn it on. I get it. So, the other issue that I think you had here was, I think there was, and I think empirically, provably, a disconnect between Brian Snicker and the team. Remember, this is not, there were some guys on it, but this is not the same team and roster that won the World Series in 2021. It's a different group of guys. There are some that are still on the roster, Ronnie, etc. But there's a lot of guys that aren't. And there was an obvious disconnect. This is why the last two seasons running, you have had Ronald Acuna Jr. posting passive-aggressive things on his social media. And it just becomes a distraction on the sideline. Because here's the thing. A lot of the guys in the clubhouse are going to take Ronald Acuna Jr.'s side before they take the manager or the team's side. They just are. They're too closely and culturally connected to do that. So at a point in time where I'm watching, for instance, the Giants with going and getting Tony Vitello out of Tennessee, am I saying Vitello's going to work out? No, I'm not. You know what Tony Vitello is? You know why he got the job? You know why he became the first ever guy to go straight from college to a pro manager's job with zero MLB experience? Because they don't need him to be a front office guy. They saw empirically at Tennessee that Tony Vitello is a guy that can walk in a locker room. He is a guy that can talk to the team. And he is a guy that has the emotional surge to pick up everybody in a locker room. They saw that. He's a type of dude that's going to go out on the football field and go the bleep to war, and the boys are going to line up behind him. Snit wasn't that. And again, maybe I'm wrong. And maybe on opening day next year, Maybe Walt Weiss is out there at 65 years old, and he's just like wearing the bleep kicking boots, and he's bringing it to the clubhouse. But like, I doubt it. And so what you did was in a year where, and this is where I think I'm frustrated. Throughout the course of the season, Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager who is largely credited with making the late season trades in 2021 that won the Braves the World Series, went and got Jock Peterson, etc. Throughout the course of this year and into the early offseason, when the other, 10 jobs, 9 teams that had a job opening, were going and getting guys. And a couple of retreads, but like young guys, energetic guys, exciting guys. While that's happening, Alex Anthopoulos is still trying to convince Braves fans last year was just bad luck. Hey guys, it's just injuries and bad luck. Well, every team has injuries. Even Rob Brown will say, yeah, every team has injuries. That's part of it. Even though I hate the phrase next man up mentality, every team has injuries. And it is not as if, yes, you had, you lost Ronnie, you had Ozzie Albies out for some time, Michael Harris was out for some time. I think like Matt Olson and the Big Bear, Marcell Ozuna, were the only guys who didn't miss like significant time. Almost everybody else did. You had Chris Sale out for a long time. Spencer Strider was out for a long time, whatever. I get it. But even when the team was healthy, they weren't good. And to me, I don't know where to put that but on management. And so when I have a general manager who ends the season by saying, it was injuries and bad luck, and decides not only was it injuries and was it bad luck, but we're going to run it back. Because I will tell you this, I am mentally preparing myself for the Atlanta Braves not to do anything personnel-wise in the offseason. I think they will pick up the contract of Chris Sale and extend him. I think they'll probably grab like 2 or 3 mid to low tier bullpen arms. Maybe they add like a backup infielder somewhere. And they stock the prospect farm a little bit, which even that wouldn't be a terrible idea. But like, you don't have a lot of resources to do a lot with it. I think that they're going to do nothing personnel-wise, on-field personnel-wise, in the offseason. And they're going to be the same team next year. Because you went from Brian Snitker to the most Brian Snitker-like guy in baseball. And again, because I want to ensure that I am giving both sides of the debate as best I can. Walt Weiss does have something that Brian Snitker did not have. Walt Weiss was in the show. Walt Weiss was an MLB player for a long time, high level. Walt Weiss played for the Braves from, 97 to 2000. Two and a half years. Well, 3 years, back half of his third year, he was replaced by Rafael Furcal. But he was a 3-year player in Atlanta when the team was good. Went to the NLCS in 1997. He was a part of that team, major part of that team. Walt Weiss was an all-star when he was with Atlanta. I think it was the 97 year, is his only all-star year, but 1 year with Atlanta. That's something that Snit didn't have. Snit had longevity in the program. Like, he had been a Brave for, 1,000 years. So he was very familiar with everyone in the organization. But at the end of the day, being familiar with everybody in the organization doesn't mean you can go in there and be a good manager. And that's my fear, or that was my fear with Snit. At least, again, Walt Weiss has MLB experience, but there was not a point where I saw Walt Weiss. Like, I wasn't even upset about Ron Washington getting the job for the Angels. Why? Because while Ron Washington, about the same age as Brian Snitker, while he was in that same age range, you know what I did see Ron Washington doing last year? I saw him on the sideline and the boys were working with and around him. I saw at one game last year, Ron Washington be approached by a player from a different team and ask him to run him through infielding drills 20 minutes before they played Ron Washington's team. And you know what happened? Ron Washington did that. Grabbed his fungo bat and he ran the guy through infield drills before he played that guy. Players love that cat. I will take an old guy that I know players love that cat. I've got zero evidence or reason to believe that's the case here. So when you know, or at least I know, but when it certainly looked like, your team had a massive disconnect from manager to roster last year, why are you going to go get the next guy who is aesthetically the exact same as Brian Snicker, and I have zero reason to believe he has any sort of a different relationship with the team, and think a damn thing is going to change. Braves fans, strap in, because next year is going to suck too. And the problem is, after next year sucks, everybody's gone. A lot of your young guys are going to be on their way out, either because their contracts are running up or because they're going to want out, and I wouldn't blame any of them. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, 844-326-3663 is the text line and the call-in number. You can also join us on the live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube or Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. JT has popped into the live stream. He said, Lane would be crazy to leave Ole Miss. He has everything he needs to build a dynasty where he sits. The places that are calling may tempt him with big money, but they also have a history of turning on a new coach real quick. He's done the hard work of getting established in Oxford. Why repeat that labor anywhere else? I will say there is one thought, because I do agree with JT on that take. It doesn't feel like it would make a whole lot of sense for him to leave Oxford, Mississippi, when he is in a pretty good spot right now for anything less than money. Because, yes, even if Ole Miss can come off of a $96 million contract for him, LSU and Florida can pay more. And will pay more to whoever they get. They will pay more. I mean, unless they decide to go with another, you know, speculative Billy Napier style hire, they will pay more. That's why Billy Napier only had a $22 million buyout. So there is only one thing that I can think, which is if you believe that, and I will tell you that while I do think that the construction is a part of it, I do not think that it is possible for just anybody to do this anywhere. Lane Kiffin has been referred to as the Portal King a number of times. And in being referred to as the Portal King, obviously he has utilized the portal to build Ole Miss into the team that it is today, a top five team in college football. We have seen a lot of other coaches, Mike Norvell, we have seen a lot of the coaches that have tried to build via the portal. And it can work for a year or two. I will say this. The question mark for Lane Kiffin, And the reason that if I was Florida or if I was LSU, I would be a little hesitant perhaps around Lane Kiffin is what if this is a one-year Mike Norvell with Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman year? What if this is his Mike Norvell year from 2023? Now, I don't think it is because I think Lane's got enough success in places he's gone that he got elevated to Ole Miss. But what if it is? What if it? And I think it is fair to say I wouldn't want to roll the dice on that if I'm a coach hiring. But then I really thought about this from the perspective of LSU, from the perspective of Florida, from the perspective of Penn State. And especially if you're Penn State, because of the guys that you were interested in, there were three names off the rip that to me were most likely to end up at Penn State. Number one was Kurt Cignetti. You go get him out of Indiana. Kurt Cignetti signed a $96 million deal to stay in Indiana. Number two was Matt Rhule at Nebraska. And there were thoughts that that was likely. Matt Rhule did go up on the thoughts of, on the Pat McAfee pod and give his thoughts on that. And listen, he was like, I'm not going to worry about that in the season. You know, I'm the king of Lincoln. I can do whatever I want here. This is a diehard place. Everybody loves it, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I had the thought at the time of Matt Rhule is probably using that to leverage more money out of Penn State, right? Because it's one thing to say, we want Matt Rhule. It's another thing to say, we want Matt Rhule and we're willing to pay X because we know we have to lure him out of Nebraska, where he loves to be. Well, Matt Rhule signed a huge contract extension that takes him through the 2032 season. Now, remember not too long ago when I said I thought that we would see a change in buyouts or buyout structure for coaches? You know what Matt Rhule's buyout at Nebraska is right now? $15 million, less than Billy Napier's was at Florida. And that is through 2032. $15 million. So that leaves the third name on the list, which is Ohio State offensive coordinator Brian Hartline. And I do think that is who is going to end up at Penn State. And I partially say that because since those names initially dropped as most likely, no one's been added to the list, right? Like not even the podcasters that cover the Buckeyes are like, okay, let's go dig up some other names. Like there's no one being added to the list. And while right after the firing of James Franklin, you saw Pat Kraft, the AD, come out and like immediately start talking about this is what we're looking for and here's the criteria and here's the personality traits and here's this and here's that. We ain't heard a word from Pat Kraft since then. That leaves me to believe that they are lying in wait, that they are sitting back. And it may be because they have already had a conversation with Hartline or his agent. It may be because they haven't, but they just like, that's our guy. And we're going to pay whatever's necessary to get him out of Ohio State and get him here. I don't know. But what I will say is, when I take all those factors, Cignetti's contract, Rhule's extension, but keeping the buyout at just $15 million, which by the way, part of the reason, and this is another factor in the buyout stuff, part of the reason that Matt Rhule got a $15 million extension is effectively to keep him in Nebraska one more year. Because remember, the buyout is not just for a coach to get fired and get a buyout. The buyout goes the other way too. If Matt Rhule suddenly decided he does want to go to Penn State, he now has to pay $15 million to Nebraska to buy out of that contract. Or Penn State would have to buy $15 million from Nebraska to get Matt Rhule out of there. So like when I said, I think we'll see a difference in the way the buyout works. You do have to some degree temper that because it is to protect the schools from the coaches taking jobs elsewhere as well. Right? So it's kind of a balancing act. If you're the school, on one hand, you want to give a buyout that if he's there 2 years, 3 years, and clearly he's just not the right guy for the job, it's not so exorbitant that you can't afford it. Mike Norvell at Florida State. But you also don't want to make it so low that if he kicks a bunch of ass, another school can swoop in and go, oh, he's got a $5 million buyout? Yeah, no problem. We'll cover that, right? And again, if the story about James Franklin's buyout being paid by Adidas is true, if the story about one booster paying the lion's share of Brian Kelly's contract is true, you don't think you're going to find a T. Boone Pickens somewhere that goes $5 million and we move on from this coach? Chicken scratch, dude. Like, your school effectively needs one billionaire alumni and you're good for a $5 billion. So it's a balancing act. But blah, 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 put all that together. And what I see here is, if I'm Lane Kiffin, there's no reason to leave. The only concern Ole Miss is going to have is this year a success because of the portal? And could he be Mike Norvell Volume 2.0? Where he builds a portal team, he makes a run, it's a really good run, and then he turns around the next year and he just absolutely craps the bed because the portal explodes on him. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. Because I still think he's a good coach. And speaking of, I think Lane Kiffin relates to his players better than a lot of other coaches do. And I think that's part of it. Because he is such an authentic person. May not like his authenticity, but he is authentic. So when I circle all around this, I look at this with the same mentality JT had, which is, why would I leave? What sense does it make for Lane to leave Ole Miss? A place where he is the king of the city, a place where they'll name the damn town after him if he wants him to, a place where Ole Miss is going to give him everything he wants. And again, all of this works on the presupposition that Ole Miss will find Kurt Cignetti money and make him one of the top two or three highest paid coaches in college football. But again, if Indiana can do that, you're damn right Ole Miss can do that. I got to tell you, I think we are long past the days where a school like an LSU or a school like a Florida or hell, even a school like a Penn State can just say, we'll hire whoever we want. If you're not one of us, upper echelon, blue blood, top of the litter, if you're not one of the elite, we'll take your head coach and not think about it. I think those days are gone. If Indiana can pay 96, if Ole Miss can pay 96, and the pressure stays as high as it is at Florida and LSU, and it stays where it is for Ole Miss and Indiana, why would Kurt Cignetti or Lane Kiffin leave? Like, everything we're talking about with Lane Kiffin, it was an identical conversation with Kurt Cignetti. Identical. Let's take a break. We're back after this. We'll talk some more stuff on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. The first college football playoff poll will be dropped later on today. I said earlier in the show, I stand by it. I do think that the first playoff poll, I don't think you're going to show up tomorrow going, OMG, Rob. We need to talk about how shocking this was, because I do not think it is going to be shocking at all, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be pretty much in line and in league with the AP poll.
So you don't think there's any chance that maybe they put Indiana ahead of Ohio State?
Nope. I do not.
You don't think there's any chance that someone in front of Indiana?
Nope. I do not. I think you're going to see, honestly, I think it is possible, say probable, that you are going to see an identical top 10. You might see one or two spots flip. I think it's going to be pretty much. I'll put it this way. If there is a significant difference, and I do not think that there will be, but if there is a significant difference anywhere, I will genuinely be tuned in. And I'm assuming tonight when the poll is dropped, which, by the way, YouTube TV members, is on ESPN, so have fun with that. When the poll is dropped, I am going to assume that we will hear from Rich Clark, the executive director of the college football playoffs. And I'll be interested to hear how he describes the rationale behind there being a big difference. Because I will also tell you that looking through at least, let's say, the top 12, I don't really have a problem with it. Now, earlier in the season, there were a lot of spots up and down the polls that I had some genuine problems with. I don't right now. I do think Ohio State is the best team in the country right now. I do think Indiana has proven that they are closing rank, but not as good as Ohio State. But I think Indiana behind Fernando Mendoza has proven they might be the second best team in the country. I think Texas A&M, as far as I'm concerned, has proven that they might be the best team in the Southeastern Conference overall. Marcel Reed is not a dude that any of us expected to potentially be the most successful quarterback in the SEC. Alabama at number 4. Everybody was ready to jump off the wagon after the loss to Florida State. I came on the show on Monday and I was like, guys, you might want to hold your horses on that. Even 2 weeks later, after Florida State won 3 games in a row, I'm like, I told you, it's not a bad loss. To this day, even though Florida State hit the bricks there for a minute, I still don't think that that was a bad loss for Alabama. That was a different team we saw. No problem with them being 4. Of course, if they're 4, you want to put Georgia behind them. Georgia's got to go behind them. They beat Georgia, fine with that. Oregon behind Alabama and Georgia, no problem with that. As much as I do my best not to be SEC guy, the reality of the situation is Oregon has not beat anybody of significance. I mean, they would have had Penn State not absolutely crapped the season, but the only other ranked game they played was Indiana. They lost that game at home. There's nobody else on the resume. Now, I think Oregon's a good team. I think Dante Moore's a good quarterback. I think Dan Lanning might be one of the best coaches in college football. There is a reason that Nike and Oregon are willing to pay Dan Lanning as much as he's getting paid. The reason is he's a great coach. Hopefully he gets a chance to prove that in the playoffs. Ole Miss at number 7, no problem. Anybody got an issue with Ole Miss right now? It's hard for me to say yes. They've got, again, one loss, and it's to now the number 5 team in the country. I got no issue with BYU, honestly. Like, BYU is a team that 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was like, hey, man, like, they run the ball. They're pretty good at running the ball. I don't know how I feel about them yet. I've watched a couple of BYU games. This team, if you are one of the people that clamors for the day of college football gone by, where it's just like, run the ball as if you are mad at the defense? May I introduce you to the BYU Cougars? That's how they play. I got no problem with them being there. Texas Tech, number 9, one loss. They did not have their starting quarterback or, what was it, wide receiver. No problem there. Number 10, Notre Dame. No problem there. 6-2. They lost their first two games out of the gate. They lost one of those to a team that would be number 2 in the country for a while. Now, granted, Miami's fallen off, but that feels like a different team now. Their other loss was to now number 3 and one of only 3 teams with an overall first place vote, Texas A&M. They've beat everybody and done so relatively convincingly since then. No problem at number 10. Oklahoma at 11. Honestly, if there is a team I think is too high inside the top 12 spots, it might be Oklahoma. Lost to Texas. Got beat by Ole Miss. Like, I think Oklahoma might be a little bit high in that spot. You know how I feel about No Fear John Mateer, but since he came back from the surgery, he's not the same dude. He's just not. This is why that South Carolina loss to Oklahoma was so shocking, right? Like, he was spinning the ball, but he didn't have the accuracy he did before the injury. That's why that loss was disappointing. I could theoretically, like, I would like to say Tony Elliott's got to get some love here. The Virginia Cavaliers have lost one game. It was on the road at NC State by 4. Same NC State team that just ended Georgia Tech's unbeaten streak. They beat Florida State. They beat Louisville, who beat Miami. They beat Washington State. They beat everybody else they've played. They've hammered most everybody else they've played, with the exception of the North Carolina game, which was way closer than you'd like. But no problem with them there. By the way, do you think somebody put this in my brain yesterday, and I thought it was an interesting thought. If Dabo and Clemson separate, is Tony Elliott the first call that you make? I think he is, right? I think he is. I think if Dabo separates from Clemson, whether it's Dabo's decision or Clemson's, I think Tony Elliott's the first call I make. Hey, brother, like, you figured it out there in Virginia. Nice job. Why don't you come home?
That's
a good call.
There's an obvious choice here. It's Rich Rodriguez.
Now, is Rich Rod still employed? Like, I know he was. He hadn't gotten fired yet, has he? I don't think he has. I think he's still gainfully employed for the second time at the University of West Virginia. I think he's still there. Anyway, tells you where West Virginia is right now. I think Tony Ellis is a call. Anyway, point of all that is, I don't think that there's going to be any surprises tonight. I think you're probably going to see the top 12 lined up pretty similar to where it is now. Here's part of my reason why. The AFCA coaches poll, which, you know, like, I really wish I could tell you that I have more faith in the coaches poll than I do the AP Top 25, but I don't. And I'll tell you why I don't. Because I know for a fact that a number of high-level coaches, coaches everywhere, but I know a number of high-level coaches, they don't actually submit their votes. They basically have a staffer do their votes for them, and then they just sign it, right? They're just like, get it close, don't make me look like an idiot, I'll sign it and send it in. It's not... I don't look at the coaches poll. I know there are a lot of coaches in the AFCA that do take this seriously and vote with integrity and no ball, whatever. But at the same time, like, if I don't believe that the guys on the College Football Playoff Committee are watching 300 games, I can't believe that head coaches actively coaching are taking time to watch 300 other games. If I've got time to sit down and watch somebody else's game, I've got time to sit down and watch film, right? So I don't put a lot of stock in that being a whole hell of a lot different from the AP poll. In the top 12, they have one different, and the only spot that the coaches poll is different from the AP top 25 is that in the top 25, Oklahoma is 11, Virginia's 12, and in the coaches poll, Virginia's 11, Oklahoma's 12. They are identical down to number 13. Both of them have Texas in that spot. That's where they get a little bit different, a little bit wonky. After that, AP, Vanderbilt, or Louisville is 14, Georgia Tech is 14 in the coaches. Vandy is 15 in the AP, Louisville is 15 in the coaches. Georgia Tech is 16 in the AP, 14 in the coaches. And Vanderbilt is 16 in the AP. So, again, all the way down to 17, your only differences are Virginia, Oklahoma swapped at 11 and 12. And Louisville, Vanderbilt, and Virginia Tech are in different spots at 14, 15, and 16. Outside of that, they're exactly the same. Now, it gets a little wonkier down after that. You got, you know, AP, Utah 17. Coaches, it's 19. Miami is 18 in both. Mizzou is 19 in the AP, and they are 17 in the coaches poll, right? Like, they're not, this is why I say, on one hand, I want to be very excited about tonight when the first college football playoff poll comes off. On the other hand, I'm not, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises. I think that the AP poll is going to be the foundation for the first playoff poll. Again, like, maybe this is just me, and maybe this is me being a cynical, jaded turd, but I don't think that the voters for the college football playoff committee, I suspect they watch a lot more football than a lot of the AP voters, but I don't think it's like going to be so much that they have a dramatically more intimate knowledge of the game, right? Like, I consider myself somebody who watches a lot of college football. And I consider myself somebody who, if they called me tomorrow and said, we want to make you an AP poll voter, I'd say yes. There's a lot of polls I would not say yes to. There's a lot of places I'd be like, I don't feel like I'm qualified. I feel like I'm qualified to be an AP voter, especially if Koki Riley is. If Koki Riley's able to vote, I'm able to vote for sure. But I consider myself somebody who watches a lot of college football. And I will tell you that I don't have a huge problem with the poll as it is, but that's also because it's what, week 11 now? Like, early in the season, but the early in the season impacts where we are now. I think it's settled itself out. And I think because of that, you're not going to see a lot of surprises tonight. So, long story short, like, we will talk about the playoff bracket. Well, we'll talk about the playoff poll tomorrow, and we'll look at what a potential bracket would look like. Remember, straight seeding this year. Five highest-ranked conference champions, but they will be seeded 1 through 12. Top four teams get a bye, whether you're a conference champion or not. If you are a conference champion outside of the top 12, any conference champion seated outside the top 12 will be seated in the last slot. So, like, if the last two conference champions are ranked 13 and 15, number 13 would become the 11th seed, number 15 would become the 12th seed, and the teams at 11 and 12 would be booted from the playoffs to make space for them. So that, like, it's interesting only to me. Tonight is not interesting from the perspective of, are they going to shock us? Are we going to see, ladies and gentlemen, the first seed is Ohio State, number two, Georgia? No, we're not going to see that. The only thing that is going to be interesting tonight for me is going to be that we'll be able to build a bracket and be like, okay, if the season ended today, this is the bracket. Who's got an easy path? Who needs to win so that they don't get Oregoned like last year and get set up with, despite being consensus number one, consensus the hardest path to get to the national championship game? Who's going to look and go, oh, if it shapes out this way, we're in a lot of trouble?
Well, I thought Ohio State had the hardest path to the national championship last year.
I do not.
Because they were not a number one seed, so they had to go up against all the higher seeds.
That was the... That first, for the record, that is the reason that we're doing straight seeding this year, honestly. Oregon and Ohio State are the reason we're doing the seeding. And in fairness, Ohio State-Oregon was Oregon's first game. Had they won that game, they would have gotten Texas next, who was a wagon last year.
Which Ohio State did. I don't know why you're defending Oregon for. Oregon was a higher-ranked team, and they lost.
Because you got Tennessee. Here's why. And I'm not saying you have to agree with this. Because you got Oregon... you got Tennessee, who was a good team, but like, I don't know anybody that picked Tennessee as a dark horse even. You got Oregon in the second round, but you got Oregon coming off the bye, which to me, playing a team coming off the bye can be beneficial, especially when that team is timing and rhythm and precision based, which Oregon was.
All the teams with byes lost last year, if I recall.
Who were they? They were Arizona State got a bye, they lost. Oregon got a bye, they lost. Georgia got the bye, they lost, and... Oh, Boise State. Boise State's the other reason we're doing straight seeding this year, because Boise State caught the bye, and Boise State got hammered by Penn State in their first game. That's fair. All right, we'll talk more about this. Like I said, the only interesting thing about tonight is going to be that we're going to be able to build a bracket. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We got a lot more I want to get to, a little bit of sound I want to play for you, and more as we hit the final hour of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Now, sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. for the next 60 seconds as Lonzo pleasures your ears with his Sports Flash.
Never gets old. The Arizona Cardinals knocked off the Dallas. It just makes me feel weird. Off the Dallas Cowboys last night, 27-17. Jacoby Brissett started in a place of the injured Kyler Murray, going 21 of 31 for 261 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott completed 24 of his 39 attempts for 250 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. The Atlanta Braves have promoted bench coach Walt Weiss to the role of manager, replacing the retired Brian Snicker. Weiss was the manager for the Rockies from 2013 to 2016, going 283 and 365, and never finishing above third place in that division. Way to go, Atlanta. Alabama defensive back Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. has been suspended from team following an arrest for reckless endangerment and attempting to elude arrest over the weekend. Kirkpatrick, son of former Alabama DB and NFL veteran Dre Kirkpatrick Sr., had 8 tackles.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.